bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here this morning. We say it again so often, but we do say it sincerely. It's good to get together and not only enjoy friendship and fellowship with one another, but also to involve ourselves together as a congregation, a time of worship to God. So very appreciative for your desire to be with us. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you're desire to follow along with us. The title of the lesson is The Ready Christian. The Ready Christian. We have expressions about readiness even in everyday life. You probably, if you knew someone or someone was with you this morning and making preparations to get to the building, one of you may even ask the other, are you ready? Are you ready yet? When it's time to eat, we may even ask, oh, is it ready to eat? We even have a game to hide and seek, you know, ready or not. Here I come. Now, even in games we play, you know, ready, set, then height. I go to the grocery store, I see ready whip, cream. From the can to the pot, ready, it's ready. I don't know, they might say shake it first, but I mean, it's ready. Let's talk about readiness this morning in our Christian living. So by definition, you can see in your notes, we're talking about something that's prepared. It's set. It's a state of fitness for action. You're ready. I'm available right now. I'm ready. You'll call and I'll come. Right now. Having the ability to respond without delay. I'm ready. That's what Christianity should be. We'll look at several ways, at least seven, just very briefly this morning, on areas of our lives where we should be ready. Right now. I'm fit for action. I'm ready to go. We even have a song in our book, number 604. Song that features the text that was read to us this morning. I want to be ready to meet him when he comes. I want to be ready. So let's look at these biblical admonitions for us to be ready. I'm sure this doesn't exhaust the list of readiness items in the Bible, but at least it'll get us thinking in a particular direction. Number one, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus said after giving these illustrations, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. So these three examples that was just read to us. First one was in Matthew chapter, these are all Matthew 24. But beginning of verse 36, Jesus said to those that are gathered around him concerning this attitude of readiness, of that day and that hour knows no man. No, not the angels of heaven. My Father only. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, oh yeah, they were eating, they were drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Ready? Ready or not? Here I come. In the second illustration, in verse 45, they ask the question, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who? What's the mark of wisdom and faithfulness among servants? Whom his Lord has made ruler over the household to give them meat in due season. So he answers the question, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. In other words, he was at the task. He was ready for the Lord to return. The third one's in verse 43. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched. In other words, he would have been ready. I'd have been ready for that thief and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. That's right. If I knew the time that a thief was coming, I'd have all the military, the police, the tanks, the guard. I'm calling out the troops. Go ahead, thief. Come on in. You dare now. I'd be ready for him. But we don't. So we lock our doors. We close our windows. We buy a dog. We do something. Why do we do that? Because we don't know when the thief is coming, so we make sure we're ready for the thief. We don't want him to break into our house. So Jesus gives these three illustrations and says, you know what, I'm going to come. And it's going to be during the normal course of events. And we're to be ready. He's not going to come and say, get ready. Not going to do that. Not going to come and let's all stand and sing six verses of Just As I Am. He's not going to come and preach a 30-minute sermon on getting ready. No. We need to be ready. Think about your coming to the building this morning. You didn't jump out of bed and come here this morning looking the way you do when you get out of bed. Well, I see it. Maybe a couple. No, you made preparation. You got ready to come. So Jesus is saying, you know, part of this in this lesson of getting ready. These are Bible admonitions for us. We need to be ready. Number two, in the life of Peter, in Luke 22, verse 33, Peter said, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. You know, we sing a song we did this morning, Anywhere with Jesus. Really? Anywhere with Jesus. We sing another song, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. Really? That's Peter's attitude. I'm ready, Lord. Whether it's prison or whether it's death. I like that attitude. In Revelation 2, verse 10, talking about, you know, us as brethren, this readiness attitude. In Revelation 2, verse 10, in the revelation of Jesus to John, to the churches, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Oh, my. That ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation. Ooh. Am I ready for that? Am I ready for the hardship of Christianity? Of Christian living? Be thou faithful till death. And I'll give you a crown of life. Wow. Follow to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, verse 12. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Am I ready for that? Hebrews 12, verse 4, he's not resisted yet unto blood. Striving against sin. Am I ready for that? I want to be a ready Christian. That's what Peter did. That's his statement. You know, in America, and even right here, right now, in our generation, we haven't experienced some of that kind of hardship or suffering or trial. We haven't been tried to that end. We've read about some of our missionaries that have. Went long ago in some of the foreign countries. If you weren't of a particular religion of that state, they came in and took away the church buildings of the Christians. Governments and rebels attack our missionaries. Because we're not of their belief. Peter, you know, even though he made this statement of readiness, I remember the time when Jesus was being crucified, and Peter had that lapse. But then a little bit later, Jesus, after his resurrection, meets with the apostles, and Peter's there. And in John 21, Jesus even told Peter, "Yea, verily, I say to you, Peter, you know, when you were young, you girded yourself. Yeah. Walked wheresoever you would." Yeah, I did that. "But when you get older, Peter, you'll stretch forth your hands. Someone else is going to gird you and carry you where you would not." Thus he spake, the Bible says, signifying by what death he should glorify God. We had spoken this, he said unto Peter, "Follow me." Peter made good his affirmation. "I'll go with you." And there was a moment, but he came back. "You will glorify me, Peter, in death." Ready to suffer. Number three, you notice, we have the Apostle Paul. In Acts 21, verse 13, Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, and the people wanted to go, "Stay with us, Paul. Don't go. You're going to die. Don't go, Paul." But he would not be persuaded. So the people ceased. They stopped begging. And they said, "The will of the Lord be done." So even against the persistence of friends, Paul determined to go to Jerusalem, believing that it was God's will for him. It was not God's will for him to die at Jerusalem. But that was his attitude. "Even if I die in Jerusalem, I'm carrying on the mission, the ministry." He would die in Rome. What about us? We're not called upon to die, at least right now in our generation, 2014 Imperial Beach. We may be one day. There may be some resistance against us from governments or foreign people, but not right now. But yet, Jesus is asking us to die a different way, and that's in daily living. As in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, one day it may literally cost us our physical life. But yet, he says, "I want you to die daily. Make a sacrifice in Christianity and Christian living." Romans 12, verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, my spiritual service." So be some choices that I have to make in life every day. Maybe you have to turn down some pleasures or some invitations. Someone may say, "Oh, Brian, will you have to do this Sunday morning? I already have an appointment Sunday morning." And when that time is already slotted. "Oh, we're going to have a good time." "No, that time's already slotted. Sorry, I have to sacrifice that good event." Whatever it may be. "Sorry, can't go with you. I'll meet you later, maybe. I may make some of the regular, but no, I can't go Sunday." Now, things during the week. "Didn't he call upon you to behave incorrectly?" "No, I can't go." preaches with them. So he said in verse 15, I'm ready to preach wherever I go. I'm ready. It's the power, he said, the message that he has, the power of God is salvation. It's not a man-made message. And nothing else will do to have our sins forgiven but the gospel, the good news. So I'm preaching that. I'm ready. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word in season, out of season. In other words, an attitude of readiness to preach. Number 5, in Titus 3, verse 1, also then put them in mind, those who have an abundance, those who have an accumulation of some stuff, put them in mind to be ready to every good work. And there's always, we always encourage people to do good, don't we? I like that. But now he's saying, be ready to do it yourself. Even as much as I'm standing up here to, let's go to work, brethren. Fulfill your ministry. Wait a minute, I have mine too. I need to do it too. And be ready to do it yourself. Don't wait for an assembly. Don't wait for an organized program. If there's something that needs to be done, and I'm ready for it. Go ahead. James 2, verse 15. For brothers said to be naked. Here's the illustration. Destitute of daily food. And what of you say to him, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what is it profit? Even though faith, if it has not worked, is dead, being alone. My faith, I'm ready with my faith, but what about my work? I need to be ready for that too. All of us, we'll have opportunity. Yours might be different from mine. Might be different in the number of times that we have opportunity. It might be different in degree, whatever it is, but we'll all have opportunity. So we can do it. We can do it. Number 6 is similar. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. They that do good, or that they do good, meaning to those that have this abundance again, or just whatever you have, you use what you have. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to communicate. You can't do more than what you have. Someone else will say, I wish I could do that. No, they just do what you can. Do what you can. That's all. Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. So don't be discouraged or think that I can't, and say, I can't do anything because I'll never measure up to what the other person is doing. No. We just do what we can. Do what we can. A cup of cold water only. Just a cup of cold water. Yeah, but look at, they're giving pails of water. Just a cup. Whatever that good work is. Then number 7, the last one, have your notes. From 1 Peter 3, verse 15. And I just took each phrase of the verse to put in your notes to just kind of refresh your memory or to establish an attitude of readiness. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you, and answer him with meekness and fear. First phrase, sanctify Christ as Lord. It's simply saying, I need to make sure I've set Jesus apart in my life. That I'm living the Christian life. That I have this conviction that He's worthy of reverence. I want to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify, set Him apart. Hallow His name. Bible. You don't need to quote the verse. Just tell them what the verse says. Well, I haven't memorized it word for word. You don't need to. You know what you did to become a Christian. Just tell them that. They want to know chapter and verse, say, come home with me and let's sit down. We'll open the Bible. I have the concordance. I'll find that verse, or I know someone I can call. I'll find the verse for you. Just be ready to answer. With meekness, that means gentleness. So you give the substance of your faith, not in your own words, but you're doing it in a manner that's not harsh or arrogant. You answer the one that asks you about your hope. And you do it with meekness. And fear. And I think about this, I put this in your notes. Anytime we present the gospel, we do it with reverence toward God. And we do it in fear, knowing that we're subject to temptation, but also I want to present the gospel correctly and persuasively. I'm always afraid that, I may not do it that way. So hopefully that element of fear moves me to do it rightly or correctly. Proverbs 11 verse 1 says, he that wins souls is wise. So I need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within me. A ready Christian is our lesson today. A ready Christian. These 7 ways that I've listed, like I said, you may think of others. The fifth, we've talked about this readiness. And a ready Christian, maybe you're not a Christian. So we ask you, are you ready to become one? Are you ready to make that decision to obey the good news gospel? You've heard the message. You believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You're willing to turn your life around. Confess your faith. I believe Jesus is God's Son. He's coming again. And you can be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in the newness of life. That's the invitation. Are you ready?